When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on into the final hour of the program. Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, hanging out with you live in the Kia Studios. Had a great conversation this evening about Lewis Riddick stating that Malik Willis should be the new QB for the Atlanta Falcons. And I want absolutely no part of it. If you missed my initial statement on it, go hit me up on Twitter at C. Thomas Radio. And I put my first reaction to it from the 6 o'clock hour. And it's on Facebook at 92.9 The Game. And I put up the link. And hopefully nobody will try to scam me and sell me something on this link from Facebook to the video that our video department put up. Appreciate them for doing so. Right now, we'll switch gears for just a second on the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in our good buddy Jason Longshore, analyst for Atlanta United. Jason, we'll get to the result in just a second as United falls to open the season 2-0. But how did the team look compared to the first time around with Tata? Did it resemble a Tata squad to you? How did the play feel in the first time out?
Yeah, I think it was a different version of a Tata Martino squad. I think there was a little bit of a tactical wrinkle that I found really interesting in the midfield, with one deeper lying midfielder behind two, not tens, but more advanced midfielders. So it's kind of a three-man midfield staggered. That's a little different than we had seen in the past from him. I think it kind of suited what he had available here. And I think it worked for a while. And I think that's the thing that I take away from it, and especially maybe took away more with a longer look back at it. I think I feel better about it now than I did maybe in the immediate aftermath, because the way the game flowed to me, I thought the first 30 to 35 minutes, Atlanta was at a minimum even with Cincinnati, at times better and at times controlling the game. Okay, I'll take that on the road against one of the best teams over the last 3 years in MLS. I'll take that. The end of the first half and the beginning of the second half, Cincinnati flipped the field and really turned the game to where they took control. And Atlanta, then the positive for the Atlanta side then is you're resilient. And that's something we couldn't really say about this team a lot last year. They were resilient. They were defending deep. They were holding their own. They were handling things. They weren't really giving up big chances. And the problem is, when you have to do that for, at that point, it had probably been about 40, maybe 50 minutes by the time you get to the 80th minute, you're exhausted and every mistake gets magnified. And it's a mistake. It's a turnover that leads to a fast break for Cincinnati, a counterattack, and they get a 2v1 and they score. The other goal comes off of a set piece where, you know, it was after you could have had a penalty. So 2-0 doesn't look good, but when you look at the game and the way that it flowed and the way that it actually played out, it looked like a team that is in game one of a new regime and is still learning how to do what Tata Martino wants. And they did it for a pretty good while. They just need to do it better in game two.
How much did an incomplete preseason play into that?
Say that one more time.
How much did an incomplete preseason play into that?
That's a good point. I think that factors in a little bit because you only got three full games in preseason and fitness was a little bit of a concern coming into this. I think there'd only been five players who had played 90 minutes in preseason. So, you know, you get to that 80th minute and it's kind of like, where are the legs? And when the legs are heavy, the brain is a little bit slower to make the decisions or maybe make the right decisions. And you go back to that sequence. And I thought Nnamdi Kai really said it best after the game. We had a chance to catch up with him in the locker room. And he talked about how like the team played maybe too many square passes, lateral passes in the attacking half as the game went on. And the threat of doing that showed on the goal, the first goal, because it was a pass from Miguel Almiron towards Alexei Maranchuk. And if it gets to him, you might be able to create something and create a chance out of it. But when it didn't, because Samuel Guidi, the midfielder for Cincinnati, jumped into the passing lane and took off, when he takes off at full speed, he has players going with him because that's the way Cincinnati plays. And before you even can react, Almiron, Maranchuk, Latelot, all eliminated from the play. And then Cincinnati makes a good decision quickly right at midfield, and they eliminate more players from the play. And it gets to the 2v1 against Mihai. And to 2v1, you're just trying to hold it up as long as you can, force the other team into a mistake. And they did the best they could, but they couldn't keep one of the best goal scorers out. And if you've played maybe a couple more games, played a couple more minutes in preseason, maybe you don't make that pass or you connect that pass and you don't have that break go against you, because it kind of felt it's not against the run of play because Cincinnati was controlling the game by that point. But that goal is not from the run of play to me. That is a mistake, a transition moment that you're punished on.
What is the message to the Five Stripe faithful who have concerns about the offense stagnation transferring over to another season?
Yeah, it's got to be better. I mean, there's nothing really that you can say other than it has to be better. And you didn't have Alexei Maranchuk from the start in this one. He had a minor injury in preseason and was just really coming back to fitness. I don't know if he's going to be 90 minutes fit on Saturday. I hope he will be fit enough to start, which to me is about 60. If I can know going into the game, if I start you, you're going to get me to halftime at least. Okay, I'll take that. So to me, that's 60 minutes fit, because if you think they're 60 minutes fit and then they're actually only 45, cool, they can get you to halftime. If you think they're 45 minutes fit and you start them and they can't get to halftime, you got to waste the sub window, and that's tough to manage. So I think he can start. That will help. He's the creative hub for this team. He's the one who's going to create the big chances. And that's the thing that I look at with this group is he's going to need some help in doing that. It can't all be on him. Miguel Almiron's going to have to create a little bit more. Latelot's not a creator. He's got to get on the end of things. I don't think he had a lot of opportunities to do that. He had one that he should have gotten a shot off. He had one that he should have earned a penalty because I think he was onside in that moment. So you earn that penalty, and if you convert it, it's 1-1 in the 85th minute, then we're having a different conversation about the game entirely. You just have to create more, and it can't all be on Maranchuk. It's got to be help from others, and if it's not Almiron, in the way you lined up in this match, is it going to be an Alzate? Is it going to be Cooper Sanchez? Is it going to be the wide players in Hernandez and Saba when he was on? And Baez, is it going to be those guys? Somebody's going to have to step up and be another chance creator to have those opportunities for more goals.
What are the couple of biggest things that need to change for a trip out west?
I think when you look at San Jose, they had a really good week one. They won 3-0 over a pretty bad Kansas City team. But they play it very differently than Cincinnati. I think they're not necessarily going to look for that kind of control that Cincinnati did and eventually won from you. San Jose won the game against Kansas City, and they had, I think, 44% of the ball. They are going to get the ball wide. They're going to put in crosses. They are good in the air. You're going to have to deal with that. you're going to have more of the ball than you did in Cincinnati, I believe. San Jose's not going to step up high and press you. They're not going to be as disruptive to your buildup. But what do you do with it? It goes back to what we were just saying. You've got to have more than just one or two players that can create opportunities for you. You think back to the game in Cincinnati, and the two best chances that were created, one is Saba getting inside on the right foot and his shot that Celentano made a diving save on, and the one over the top from Ronald Hernandez to Latte Lott, and he was ruled offside. Replay showed that it was very, very close. That would have been a penalty if he had been onside. So those are your best two chances you created. The other good chance was a little bit of a kind of a bouncing ball that falls to Almaner on top of the 18. He gets a great shot off and Celentano makes a great save. But that's a little more random. The ones that you really manufactured were two. That needs to be more like four or five. And that's going to be the next jump for this team.
How much is it important for this team to, when they get back home, to set the tone in a building that should be one of the most dominant in MLS, but the last couple of seasons has been unfortunately up for grabs?
Yeah, that's the biggest thing for me in terms of what this weekend is you've got to really get everything right before you come back home. Of course, you want to get 3 points in a game that you should feel like is winnable. I think when you look at these two teams on paper, you should feel like you can go to San Jose and win. Doesn't mean you will, but you should go in and have some positivity about being able to get a good result. More importantly than that, it's how you do it. It's how you play. It's the building blocks that we talked about from game one, really creating more of a foundation in game two. You've got to see the things that, like Tata Martino said to Cooper Sanchez after the game. Cooper told media yesterday he wants him to be more of a protagonist. He wants him to not play as safe, not keep possession as much. Try things. Try to force a pass through. And if you don't, then go win the ball back. Go be aggressive. That's what he wants to see. So I think now, with another week, with a full game under your belt, you need to see those moments where you're not pinned back as much. You're on the front foot. And it's not always about, like, I don't want to see a guy like Moranchuk, for example. I think a lot of people will get hung up on, like, oh, well, he only completed 70% of his passes or whatever the number is. I don't know, because it's a stat that's meaningless. He's going to have to, in his area, and I think Almiron's going to have to do the same, he's going to have to try to connect passes that are difficult, which means more often than not, he's probably not going to connect it. But if he creates two big chances out of 10 possible passes to get through and create two goals, he's done his job. I need him to risk. I need Almiron to risk. I need to see riskier passes, riskier dribbles. Take that chance in the attacking third, or at least in the attacking half, the attacking half of the attacking half, the attacking quarter of the field. Take your chances there. Take chances on passes. Try to make things happen. And if it doesn't come off, immediately press to win the ball back. That's what Tata Martino wants from this team. And I want to see that for longer than 30 to 35 minutes that we saw in Cincinnati, where it looked pretty good. But the game's 90 minutes. You got to see it for a longer period of time.
Before I let you go, how was the communication and response from New Gold?
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Goalkeeper to his squad.
Yeah, we had a chance to talk to Lucas Ojos yesterday, and I liked his game on Saturday. I think we try to put stats on goalkeepers at times, and I don't think they're really fair. I think it's a hard position to quantify at times. I look at how he managed things. I thought he had a big personality back there, which is key. I think he transmits confidence to the guys in front of him. He talked about some of the language issues that they all have. I mean, he's lucky in Hernandez and Baez and Jacob speaking Spanish, Better Call speaking Spanish. Mihai understands Spanish really well. When you get some of the other guys in, it can be a little bit of a challenge. But he transmits a big personality on the field. Like, he doesn't seem like somebody who is playing timidly. And as a goalkeeper, I like that. I like my goalkeeper to be a little unpredictable at times. He was aggressive. He came off his line. I mean, the way he played the one that eventually gets past him, he forces Dinké wider to give players time to get back to the goal line to try to make the play. That almost worked, and maybe isn't textbook, but I thought it was about the best solution that he had to the problem, which was the 2v1. I like Ojos. I like what I saw from him. He's good with the ball at his feet. I want to see if Jaden Hibbert continues to push him, though, because Jaden Hibbert to me is the future. I just don't know if the future is right now yet.
Jason, great stuff as always. Hopefully we get a dub to talk about next week, and we'll chat soon.
Sounds good. Thanks.
All right. That is Atlanta United analyst Jason Longshore there. Great stuff breaking down the week 1-2-0 loss, but certainly stuff to improve upon and build upon before they take a trip out to San Jose. When we get back, you want all the latest from Flowery Branch, a key contributor to the Falcons the last couple of years. He got shown the door today. We'll tell you who that is with Joe Patrick stopping by the show next.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Deanna Roga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.